Let's just open in prayer. And for whatever reason, opening in prayer this time feels really, really special. So I want you to do something for me. Maybe you're here and not even a Christian. Maybe you're here just because Christmas is the time of year that you show up in church. I'm not sure why you're here, but I know God knows why you're here, and it's no accident that you're here. So this morning when you pray, I just want you to say, come Holy Spirit and speak to me. Because God is a perfect gentleman. He never forces himself on anybody. He never will. So I just ask, maybe you're not a believer, just humor me. Just invite God to come and speak to you. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, Father God, we just invite you to come right now, Father God. We invite you to come and to fill this place with your presence, Father God. We open up our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say, Father God, from your word. I thank you, Father, for each and every one that's here. I pray that you would bless them, Father God. And I pray, Father God, that you would speak to them what you have for them. It's no accident that they are here. Everybody is here by your design, Father God. And I just pray blessing on everything that's done and said this morning in Jesus' name. All right. Take your Bibles. And this verse has been quoted already this morning, but we will do it again. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. These will be his royal titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So this morning, we've heard in the last number of weeks on different titles or names that have been given to God in this passage. This morning, I was tasked with Mighty God. So we live in a world that's full of gods, small g. And I'm going to list off a few of them. I'm sorry if I stepped on your toes. No, I'm not actually sorry. But anyways, money, perfectionism, social media, status, and the list goes on and on and on. And we have many, many gods in this world. And people serve these gods, and they serve the ones that I mentioned, and they serve lots and lots of other ones as well. In Isaiah is, of course, talking about Jesus coming back, or Jesus coming to earth, not coming back, I'm sorry, Jesus coming to earth. In case you didn't know, Isaiah spoke these words somewhere between 600 and 700 years before the birth of Christ. So that's interesting. When Isaiah spoke these words and called Mighty God, scholars say that he was ascribing to Jesus that coming baby as deity, as God. And that's cool. But what about this word mighty? Gentlemen in the back, you can get ready for my video clip, please. If we're looking into the Hebrew word, mighty is used very, very few times in Scripture. And if you're a good Bible school student and you studied this out in Hebrew, you would find that mighty is only used in reference to God. In mighty in the singular form is only referenced to God. So it's not a word taken very lightly in Scripture. It has a lot of heavy meaning. But today I needed an illustration of mighty. And I know that I'm talking to a large number of farmers. And I also know that if you're not a farmer, you're probably a retired farmer. And if you're not a retired farmer, you know a farmer. So my illustration this morning is a video clip. And as you can see on, I can see on the screen, but you can't see it yet. Is it coming? Yes, please. As you can see on the screen, we have two tractors. For you farmers, you have a Fendt 1050, extra sexy with triples on the back. She is weighing in at 52,500 pounds, and she is rocking 517 horsepower. On the other side of the tug rope, pull rope, you have a John Deere, and I believe it is a 9560R. You can correct me if I'm wrong. She is weighing in at 59,100 pounds, and she rocks 560 horsepower. These two tractors are going to have a tug-of-war, and I figured, what better demonstration of mighty for farmers? Go ahead. So there you go. How many of you guys were surprised? Not really? Oh. The ladies weren't impressed at all. I missed my audience completely. So, talking about mighty. God is referred to as mighty. The baby Jesus that is referred to in this text coming is referred to as mighty. We already know that the baby was referred to as deity. But was he just mighty at the moment he was born? Turn with me to John chapter 1:1. All the good Awana students will know this off by heart. Won't even have to go there. Most of you probably know. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. He was with God, and He was God. So, in this text, we're talking about the Trinity. So, Jesus was already there before the creation of the world. Jesus was already with God. He already was God, and we find that His entrance into the world was very, very humble, as we know in the Christmas story. John chapter 14, verse 6. So if you just flip over a few pages. So we know that Jesus was mighty before the creation of the world. Jesus was mighty all the way through. We're going to fast forward now to Jesus walking with us on earth. And Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6. When I find it, I'm way too far. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you've known who I am, then you would have known who my Father is. From now on, you know him, and I have seen him. So Jesus is talking that of how mighty he is to save. We have many gods on this planet, small g's that we've talked about, money and all those kind of things, social media. But at the end of the day, those small gods cannot save you. The only God that we have that can save you is Jesus. And he demonstrates that for us in John chapter 14, verse 6. Another way that he is mighty, we find in Luke chapter 24, verse 1. I'll give you a minute to get there. He is mighty in his victory over death. So Luke chapter 24, verse 1, and this is, Jesus had been dead, had been crucified. He was put in a tomb and he was buried. And this is the morning of the third day. But very early on Sunday morning, the women came to the tomb, taking spices that they had already prepared. They found the stone covering the entrance had been rolled aside. So they went in, but they couldn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They were puzzled, trying to think of what could have happened to it. Suddenly, two men appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed low before them. Then the man asked, "Why are you looking for the tomb of someone who is alive? He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Don't remember what he told you back in Galilee? For the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." So we find that Jesus not only can save you, but he is also triumphant in death. Death could not hold Jesus down. So this morning, I want to leave here with you thinking one thing. Which God do you serve? Which God is important to you? Of all the little gods that you serve, who of them can say, or who of them is triumphant over death? Who of those little gods is eternal, as we found in John 1? He was here before the creation of the earth. He was here before everything. Which one of those little gods that we serve can say, that can save us? That can save us from eternity. So this morning, as we celebrate Christmas, my question for you is, which God do you save? And is that little God able to save you? Well, I hope and I pray that this morning that you find Jesus, and that you come to the one true God and worship him this morning. I'm just going to close in prayer, and then John will come. Thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Father, that you are a God that came to save us, that you are a God of mighty, mighty power, Father, and that you are mighty in everything that you did. Father God, we just looked at a few different things that you did this morning, but Father, the Bible is full of your mighty works and your mighty deeds. And I just pray, Father God, that you would speak to us of exactly how mighty you are and show us that in the coming days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Trevor. This is probably a new thing for everybody here, getting two different guys to talk. The scripture that we've been looking at, and it's been repeated several times, it's in the context of the war ceasing. You read all of chapter 8, 9, war ceasing. There's a great light, distress, hunger, oppression. It's all ending. And the last picture before this verse is that of a warrior's boots and his bloody clothes are destined to the fire. And then we have this, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And then we have a list of different names that is ascribed to this baby that was born, this son that was given. I've been tasked with one that's really tough. Everlasting Father. I said, oh man. This one's a tough one. How is Jesus Christ everlasting Father? You know, Trevor did a great job of identifying the mighty God. Christ, the mighty God in creation, in salvation, and in resurrection. But how is Jesus everlasting Father? So that's what drove my study. You know, we got to start with everlasting. Everlasting is a word that's used only three times the same way in the Old Testament, but it's the same word in Greek in the New Testament. It means the same. It means that it's preemptive. God in Christ, he was there before everything. Perpetui. He was now. And the third thing, he's eternal. That's forward. And it's the same word that's used here in the New Testament. The word everlasting Father, or Father of eternity, is applied to Christ, the Messiah. It shows another aspect of himself as the revealer of God to man. God designed to be revealed to mankind fully, to us as creatures, by somebody that was perfect, and that was Jesus Christ. So when we have Jesus Christ coming as a son, as a child, his goal, his job on earth was to show us his Father. Jesus' eternal nature and his role as a fatherly figure highlights what a father does. What do fathers do? They care for us, they protect us, they offer us comfort, unending presence, you know. And with Jesus being the eternal Father, it's something that continues on and on and on. We find this highlighted, the last words that Jesus gave his disciples before he ascended into heaven. He says in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Guess what? This eternal Father in Jesus Christ, he's promised to be with us till the end of the age. He's going to be with us with whatever thing we do. This everlasting is ongoing. It's unending. And it's something that we can identify with today because Christ has promised us to be with us forever. You know, I did a lot of searching in different commentaries and studying the word, and it comes down to this. They all agree in one thing. This name, Everlasting Father, was given to Jesus when he came to earth. So the importance of this name is he's taking heaven and bringing it to earth in all his eternity. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, it states, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him to the highest place and given him a name above every name on earth and every tongue. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Trevor challenged us. Which God are you trusting? Are you trusting the mighty God? Who are you bowing the knee to today? Jesus Christ was the possessor of this eternal program from God. He possessed it in all his entirety. He was bringing heaven down to earth in the person of himself so that we could get to know the Father. When we bow the knee, we're bowing the knee to an eternal Savior. Not only that, Christ is the originator of this age. He brought in the fact that we can be right before God. For the first time in human history, God has provided a way for us to get to know him so that we can stand before God in a righteous standing. All the privileges of the good news that Jesus preached belongs to us. It belongs to him, and then he passes it on to us. You know, we can anticipate some great excitement in eternity, in heaven. But we owe it to him. Are you enjoying your walk with Jesus today? I hope you are. Because that is what he is all about. He brings that enjoyment. He brings that peace. He brings that love. Because it originated up there. And now he's the eternal Father down here showing us the way. Not only that, he is the administrator. He's the controller of it. He's looking after everything. He's the author and finisher of our faith. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, in time past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various manners. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him all he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Jesus Christ is sustaining everything, his whole creation. He's sustaining all the nations of the world. He is sustaining. You know, they say that if the earth tilted 1 degree off what it's supposed to be, we'd all go flying off into space and we'd become space junk. But no. He's controlling not only his creation, but he's also controlling you and I in our walk with the Lord. And it says here, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representative of his being. When we see Jesus, we see God. Neither is there salvation any other. For there is none other name under heaven given to us by mankind by which we must be saved. Dear friends, it's only the name of Jesus Christ that we can be saved. Trevor also quoted from John chapter 14. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the same thing. That's because Jesus says, I'm the ultimate way. There's not a lot of paths leading to God. And a lot of people like to say, well, I'm on this path, and I'm going to be God. I'm going to tell you something. If it's not through the Lord Jesus Christ, you're on the wrong path. Philip, you know, when Jesus said this, he says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And he replies, don't you know, Philip, even after all that I've been with among you, everyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Dear friends, when we can look at Jesus Christ through faith, we're seeing the Father. And that's what Jesus wanted to do. He wanted to point us so that we can see the Father in all His glory and all His righteousness. But it's only through Jesus Christ. Every man, every woman, every young person has to find the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. God loved us so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. That word eternity is the same one, that He's the eternal Father. And God has chosen His Son to bring us to Him. Do you believe John 3:16? If you were suddenly to die today, where would you go? Would you go to heaven? Would you go to hell? Where are you going to be? What's your answer? Now let's say you arrive in heaven, and Jesus comes and confronts you. Say, well, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Dear friends, what happened if I die today? I'll tell you where I'm going to go. I'm going to heaven. And if I get to heaven and Jesus was to ask me, why should I let you in? I'll be bowing down at His feet, because as a 5-year-old boy, in all my innocency and youthfulness, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I asked Jesus Christ because I recognized that His blood would forgive me for my sins. And as a 5-year-old, I recognized I was a little sinner. I had 6 sisters, so that was pretty well obvious of how bad I was sometimes. But you know, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my life. And you know what? He has never left me. Do you believe in God? That's good. But do you believe, dear friends, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? He died for me. And I want to tell you something. When I was thinking about Jesus asked me that question, I'll be down on my knees before Him and say, oh, Jesus, you know. You know me. You knew me as a 5-year-old. You know me all these years. You know me now. Thank you for being my Savior. Yeah, I've been busy. We were looking at a scripture in Matthew in our men's Bible study. It says, these guys that do all these things, he's preaching and teaching and healing and on, there comes a time when the day comes when there's a judgment. And the question is asked, why are you here? Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. You know why Jesus didn't know them? Because they never had a personal relationship with Jesus. And if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, there comes a day when you're going to stand before God himself and Jesus, and they're going to say, I never knew you, depart from me. So this morning, my challenge to each and every one of you here this morning, answer those two questions. If you die, where are you going? I'm going to heaven. If Jesus was to ask you, you say, well, I believe that Jesus Christ's blood saves me, and I'm glad that he's my Savior. So if you don't, you can't say that this morning, do it before we leave. Let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you for this, that you're the eternal Father who points us to you. Thank you, Jesus, that you showed us the way to understand God. The fatherhood of God is so important. And Lord, we thank you that you've shown us a way. And if there's anybody here this morning who doesn't have a personal relationship with you, I pray that they'll do it before they leave here this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much. We're gonna sing two songs, but I realize we've gone a little over time, and because of our music, and we're gonna stand to sing. And if you need to go out, if you've got kids in Sunday school, you need to pick up, or you've got other commitments, we totally understand. We're gonna start with this song, Messiah, and Messiah is the Savior, and that's who Jesus is, as we've been reminded. So I'd like you to stand, and we'll sing it together, and then we'll sing one more song after that, but you're free to go whenever you need to.
In bed.